If you would please rise if you're able for our call to worship and remain standing for our praise and worship song. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good.
His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
And you can come up too. Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I have. It's still Thanksgiving.
Yes, I get to celebrate again today. When we think of Thanksgiving, sometimes we think of it as Turkey Day. So I brought my turkey.
We need one too.
You can watch that one, okay? Psalms 100. Serve the Lord with gladness, all who are his people. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We bless his name because we are loved every day by someone special. We are truly blessed. Blessing. What does that word mean? It is a favor or gift given to us by God. So it does bring us happiness. What makes you happy? Think about that.
Blue monkey.
Your monkey?
Blue monkey.
What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for Grandpa Gary.
And what are some blessings? We think of you as blessings. Our congregation is a blessing. Our family, our friends, our faith, our food, our homes.
I'm blessing for everything.
That's wonderful. Let's spell it out. B-L-E-S-S-I-N-G. Bring love everywhere. Share smiles in the name of God. And B-L-E-S-S-I-N-G. Be loving every day and serve so individuals that need God will find him. Shall we say an echo prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
No, you can't touch the turkey ever.
We are thankful for your blessings.
We are thankful for your blessings.
Let us be thankful every day.
Let us be thankful every day.
Amen. Thank you.
For our daily food and drink, our homes and families and our friends, we respond, we thank you, Lord. For our minds to think and hearts to love and hands to serve, we thank you, Lord. For health and strength to work and leisure and rest and play, we thank you, Lord. For the brave and courageous, for those who are patient in suffering and faithful in adversity, we thank you, Lord. For all valiant seekers after truth, liberty, and justice, we thank you, Lord. For the communion of saints in all times and all places, we thank you, Lord. Above all, we give you thanks for the great mercies and promises given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. To him be praise and glory with you, O Father, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And we'll bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture, where they shall lie down in good grazing land. And they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be their shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring them back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you've pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of God, for we, the people of God, let us say, thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, open our hearts to your scriptures and show us that you are the good shepherd of our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are. It's Christ the King Sunday. It's where it hinges into the next season. Next week we start Advent and anticipating the return and commemorating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But today is the culmination of a season that goes all the way back to Pentecost, where we celebrate the kingdom of God. And we've taken quite the journey, haven't we? During the summer, we went through Romans. And then in the fall, we came back into the Old Testament. And now through this month, we've been in this series about the saints. About the saints who are robed in white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb. The saints who share powerful stories and testimonies about how Christ is transforming their lives. And when people talk about them, they can't help but see Jesus at work in their lives. And the saints who always have something to be thankful for, whose lives are characterized by giving praise to God. With the way that they live, the way that they speak, the way that they treat others, and with giving God the first fruits of all they've been blessed with. And today, we're going to conclude this series. As the saints are all of one flock, with one great shepherd, our Savior King, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the good shepherd. Or as he said in the gospel of, pardon me. He says in John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He says, I know my own and my own know me. He even says to us in John 10 that he has other sheep that do not belong to this fold when he's talking to his disciples about the people inside their synagogues or inside their religious circle, the Jews. But he says, these other sheep that don't belong to the fold, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the people who haven't yet heard the good news, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock with one shepherd. He is our great shepherd. In the gospel, or in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, verse 28, the apostles tell us that God gives them this word of, keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So he's talking to the apostles who were the first clergy, to the first pastors and evangelists and missionaries. And he says, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock because you are to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own son. Jesus is the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. Amen? When John the Baptist first saw Jesus, he pointed at him and told his disciples, he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the kind of shepherd king we have. He didn't come just to rule over us or even just to tell us how to live or what to do. He came to show us how to live and what life's really about. He taught us and his disciples that greater love is no love than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life on the cross for us, who paid for our forgiveness and our freedom and reconciled us to God and with one another through the forgiveness of sins by his blood. He didn't just give a tithe. He paid it all for us so that our debts could be wiped clean and we could have a fresh start. He is our good shepherd. He also talked to us and taught us in the Gospels in Matthew. He talks about what kind of a shepherd a good shepherd is to be. He says, what do you think? This is in Matthew 18:12. If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search for the one that went astray? He cares about each and every one of you. All of us. Every single child of God created in his image. And when we're grieved that a loved one or someone's not in church, or we're estranged from them, he's grieved all the more. And he's doing everything he can through his people, through his Holy Spirit, to bring them back home. He's willing to leave the 99 to go seek out that one and bring them home with joy. He is the good shepherd. Or as we were singing that song, leaves the 99. I can't get over that. He would leave the 99 to come and rescue you. He'd look like a fool to others, but would come and rescue you and bring you home. And we just had Thanksgiving. Are you thankful for Jesus being the shepherd of your soul? Have you experienced that joy where Jesus is the shepherd of your soul? Where Jesus sees us in our lives and we're so busy, we're so overloaded, we're so overwhelmed with all the things we have to do, all the burdens, all the cares, all the things that we try to have control over, but we don't have in control. And he sees us just like he saw the crowds who were harassed and helpless. And so as the good shepherd, he had compassion on them. And he went and he fed the hungry. And he quenched the thirsty. He clothed the naked. He healed the sick. He visited the imprisoned. He preached and brought good news. He was good news for the poor. He welcomed the weak ones and the little children. He's the good shepherd. He knows us. He knows you. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, that you were going astray like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So he doesn't just keep us together, but he protects us. A shepherd has that shepherd's crook, right? And when the wolves come, they have to bat them away. Or when you're a shepherd like David, sometimes you gotta wrestle a sheep from the mouth of a lion. That's what Jesus did for you and still does for you. He conquered the evil one. He conquered sin. He faced all temptation. He stared death in the face and did not cower, but was obedient. Or in Philippians, as Paul talks about, he humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant, and became obedient even to the point of death. Even death on a cross. And so God exalted him and raised him up so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And isn't that true? Amen? Amen. He is the good shepherd. He had compassion on us. And so he taught us the gospel. He revealed the word of God through the Holy Spirit and opened the hearts and minds of his disciples. The things that people waited centuries to know, he was the open secret right there for them. He had nothing to hide. He was there to reveal who God is. It's not that Jesus is God, but that God is Jesus. That's who God really is. You want to know God? It's Jesus Christ. That overwhelming, never-ending love of God. It chases you down. and it fights till you're found and leaves the 99, as Dean just put up on the screen. Those words bring comfort to my soul. But Ezekiel, as we heard in this scripture, God was saying this to a people who were in exile, a people who were waiting for the Messiah to come. They thought things were going good, and shepherds or the leaders, the religious leaders, were telling them, oh, we're going to have peace, things are going to get better, but they continued to get worse. And so I want to give you this context of what was really going on. And what was happening was they had a crisis of their leadership. That the religious leaders were taking on too much or taking too much for themselves, or they were neglecting the people. And so the flock was being scattered. They were losing their unity. They were losing their focus. So this is what he says in Ezekiel 34. He says, the word of the Lord came to me. He says to Ezekiel, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord your God, ah, you shepherds of Israel, you've been feeding yourselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You've not strengthened the weak. You've not healed the sick. You've not bound up the injured. And you've not bought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness, you have ruled them like a tyrant. And so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and scattered because they became food for all the wild animals. He says, my sheep were scattered, and they wandered all over the mountains and over every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with no one to search or seek for them. He says to them, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild animals. Since there was no shepherd, my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but my shepherds have fed themselves. There it is again. Their sin was gluttony, not just with food, but they were focused on themselves. Maybe they were focused on their institution or their building plans or getting wealthy, or being more popular, or looking good in front of people. But they were missing what their purpose was to be. And God was upset. He says, I am against the shepherds. I demand my sheep at their hand, and I will put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. And here's what he promises. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths. So he's saying that the shepherds have become like the wolves. He's going to rescue them so they may not be food for them. And that's where that verse came in today where he says, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places. I'll bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. I'll bring them into their own land. I'll feed them. I will feed them with good pasture. He says that I will be the shepherd of my sheep and I will make them lie down. He says he's going to make us lie down. You feel like sometimes we need a break? We're just going, 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 going. But all we really need is a rest, a reprieve. That's why I like Thanksgiving. We're not worried about presents. We're just gathering together. We're eating a meal. We're feasting. We're being thankful. It's kind of like an annual Sabbath for your families, for your coworkers, your friends. We need that rest. How many of you remember Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That God will provide for our needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sometimes it's hard to find green pasture or still waters in our lives, isn't it? But that's what we're called to be for one another in our relationships in the church, aren't we? We're called to be reconcilers, right, Linda? We're called to comfort one another. We're called to bind up the brokenhearted and to help the injured and the sick, to comfort the grieving, to feed the hungry. Jesus doesn't just do it all for us. He does it for us and through us and with us. If you want to be like Jesus, start learning how to be a good shepherd in your relationships. And look around you. look for the people who are here. Lindy and I were here the other day, and we came in, and we were like, where is everybody? We went to do Hanging in the Greens. There's just Lindy and I. And it's easy to get upset or to think about that, but it made me think about, well, where did everybody go? We've all been scattered in our lives. We got all these activities, all these commitments, all these expectations, and we can't balance it all sometimes. Some of us are probably thinking about, oh, I got to put up all these decorations for the holidays. I got all the shopping to do. And I feel like this year, it's like, I don't know if I can handle all these expectations this year. I feel like I kind of need a break. And maybe my Advent this year is going to be about, I am not in charge and I am not in control. And I thought I was going to be ready for this, and I'm not. And I need Jesus to come. And maybe even wanting to be ready for Jesus to come makes me realize that I'm not ready for Jesus to come. And that's why I need Jesus to come again. I need Jesus to be the shepherd. I need Jesus to show compassion for me and for us and for our church. I need Jesus to help us to gather the scattered sheep around us. I need Jesus to make a breakthrough in people's lives. Maybe I'm not the one that has the words to say to connect with someone. Maybe it's someone else in the church. Or maybe it's something that God needs to do in their heart or in their lives. But he is the good shepherd. Peter promises us in 1 Peter 5, he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. And I take that to mean that we can't win on our own. But when Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus takes center stage in your life, and even on the day that we die and Jesus takes us home, we will receive a crown of glory. What we've been working our whole lives for, we can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But still, he chooses to give that to us in that forever relationship because he is our good shepherd. Amen? Amen. He will rescue us from the dark places. He will find the strayed. He will bind up the injured. He will strengthen us when we're weak. And he will feed us with justice. Are you hungry for justice? I want justice. I want God to be the one to make things right. Because sometimes when I try to make things right, I just cause more harm. I might have the best of intentions, but I need God's righteousness and his justice. He promises he's going to judge between the sheep and the rams and the goats. And that takes a big burden off of us. Because then we don't have to judge others. We have to spend time figuring people out. We just have to offer them the grace of God. We just have to continue to pray for them and to plead for them before the throne. We have to continue to offer them forgiveness and love and grace. And let God be the one to have the last word. Jesus promised us that when we take his yoke upon us, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's true. I love that in verse 30 in Ezekiel 34, he says, I, the Lord their God, am with them. They are my people, and you, he's talking to all of us, are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, says the Lord. At the end of the day, in Revelation 7, it says the Lamb will be at the center of the throne, and he will be the shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. Those still waters we long for in eternity. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So are you thankful for Jesus? Are you thankful for the way that he's cared for you? He's shown compassion for you. He's given you all that you need for life and love so you can be a blessing to others. Let's pray and thank him right now. Jesus, thank you that you are our good shepherd. And I pray today, God, that if there's anyone here who is in need of you to be their shepherd once more, or even for the first time, Lord, that you would just minister to their hearts, that they would feel a love that they have never experienced, Lord. A love and a security and an acceptance that they are safe with you, that you accept them for who they are, you love them. and you died for them, and you live for them, and that you will guide them and lead them. And if they feel lost, Lord, you're bringing them home right now, rejoicing to bring them back to the 99. So I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I wanted us to stand up. Thank you that you are the shepherd of our souls. And we thank you, Lord, for Marcy and for Sammy and for their ministry in this church, and for you increasing our flock and continuing to help us to be reconciled with one another and with you. Guide us, especially as we consecrate ourselves to you in our stewardship and in our ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to sing a great Advent. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him, the great shepherd of your souls, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.